Hello and welcome to our program, Money Matters, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Deb Parsons, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from various news sources here on OWL Radio. Starting out today is an article from Kiplinger Magazine titled, The New Rules of Retirement. Secure Act 2.0 gives retirees more time for their nest egg to grow and helps workers save more, by Sandra Black. Hours before hustling out of town in December, Congress passed a federal spending bill that included Secure Act 2.0, a potpourri of provisions that could affect the way you save for retirement and manage your nest egg after you stop working. New distribution rules. In 2023, the starting age for taking required minimum distributions from traditional individual retirement accounts, 401ks, and other tax-deferred plans increases to 73, up from 72. In 2033, the starting age will increase to 75. The change means that individuals who turn 72 this year will get a one-year delay in RMDs, says Tim Steffen, Director of Advanced Planning for Beard. Technically, you can wait until April 1, 2025 to take your first RMD, but that means you'll need to take two RMDs in 2025. The legislation isn't retroactive, so if you turn 72 in 2022, you're still required to take your first RMD no later than April 1, 2023. Retirees who don't need money from their tax-deferred accounts may welcome the delay in RMDs, especially if they need more time for their portfolios to recover from last year's bear market. Similarly, individuals who are in their 70s and still working may appreciate the opportunity to delay distributions until they retire and fall into a lower tax bracket. The delay could also give retirees more time to convert some of the money in their traditional IRAs to a Roth IRA. Roth IRAs have no RMDs, and because they're funded with after-tax dollars, withdrawals are tax-free. But once RMDs kick in, you can't convert to a Roth until you've taken your retired distribution, which could result in a hefty tax bill. Still, there are downsides to postponing RMDs because you, or your heirs, are eventually going to have to pay taxes on funds in tax-deferred accounts. RMDs are calculated based on the amount of money in all of your tax-deferred accounts at the end of the year and your life expectancy as determined by the IRS's Uniform Lifetime Table. When you're eventually required to withdraw money, the amount of the RMD could be large enough to push you into a higher tax bracket. For that reason, many financial planners recommend taking modest distributions from your tax-deferred plans long before you're required to make withdrawals. Perhaps in a nod to increased confusion about the timing of RMDs, Secure Act 2.0 significantly reduces the penalties for missing an RMD or taking out less than you're required to withdraw. Starting in 2023, the penalty drops to 25% of the amount you should have withdrawn, down from 50%. The penalty drops to 10% if you take the necessary RMD by the end of the year following the year the RMD was due. Changes for retirement savers. Starting in 2025, workers who are age 60 through 63 can make a catch-up contribution of the greater of $10,000 or 150% of the age 50 and older catch-up amount, $7,500 in 2023, to their 401k or other employer-sponsored plan. In a quirk of the law that has nothing to do with retirement and everything to do with congressional budget maneuvers, catch-up contributions by workers over 50 who earned at least $145,000 from their employer will be required to go into a Roth 401k. A better Roth 401k. If you're worried about being blindsided by large taxable RMDs after you retire, one strategy is to contribute to a Roth 401k while you're working. Contributions are after-tax, but withdrawals are tax-free as long as you are 59 and a half and have owned the account for at least 5 years. Starting in 2023, if you have a Roth 401k, you can request that your employer match go into that account. Previously, employer matches were required to go into a pre-tax 401k account. The legislation also eliminates RMDs on Roth 401k plans effective in 2024. In the past, you could avoid RMDs by rolling your Roth 401k into a Roth IRA, but if you prefer your employer's plan's investment options, you will have the ability to leave the money there until you need it. Finally, the legislation will allow some parents to roll over unused funds in their 529 college savings plans to a Roth IRA, but with significant restrictions. The 529 plan must have been open for at least 15 years, and the rollover amount is limited to the maximum IRA contribution for that year, with a lifetime maximum of $35,000. In addition, the owner of the Roth IRA must be the beneficiary of the 529 plan. If the beneficiary of the 529 plan is your child, for example, the Roth IRA must be set up for that child. And for younger workers, here's a little article titled Savings Incentives, Benefits for Younger Workers. While some of the most important provisions in SECURE Act 2.0 affect retirees and near retirees, legislation also contains some benefits for younger savers. Starting in 2024, employers can make a matching contribution to an employee's retirement plan account based on the individual's student loan payment amount. This change is designed to address concerns that student loan payments prevent young workers from saving for retirement. Beginning in 2027, the Savers Credit, which is designed to encourage low-income workers to save for retirement, will be simplified. Eligible individuals will receive a credit of up to 50% of the first $2,000 contribution to an IRA or other retirement plan. Instead of reducing the individual's tax bill, the credit will be deposited directly into a retirement account. Starting in 2024, employers will be allowed to offer employees a Roth-like emergency savings account of up to $2,500 a year, which could include matching contributions. Employees will be permitted to take up to 4 tax and penalty-free withdrawals a year. Next up is an interview. The article is titled Regulators Focus on New Types of Fraud. Seniors are among the most vulnerable victims of online scams. Andrew Hartnett is Deputy Commissioner of the Iowa Insurance Division and President of the North American Securities Administrators Association, NASAA, which represents state securities regulators and advocates for investor protection and education. Protecting seniors from fraud and exploitation is part of NASA's mission. What types of scams are targeting seniors lately? States and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission have brought several actions against sellers of precious metals who were using FAIR to convince investors to move their retirement savings to self-directed IRAs and use the funds to buy precious metals coins. The sellers did not disclose large markups on the coin prices, and the states and the CFTC alleged that the investors might lose 1/3 to 1/2 of their retirement savings just by saying yes. We also continue to see classic scams, such as grandparent scams, in which a con artist poses as a grandchild in distress and asks for money. In a romance scam, a crook feigns romantic interest in a victim to gain trust and then tricks him or her into handing over money or personal information. And there are text scams, where victims are asked to pay money to get non-existent viruses off their computers or to regain access to their photos online. How can seniors avoid falling victim to scams? Because scams are so diverse, there's no single approach to help older Americans protect themselves. We need engaged family members who can talk openly about scams and the dangers they present, not only to make older Americans aware of the scams, but also to empower them in case they have fallen victim. We also need older Americans, their families, and their caregivers to understand that it's not their fault if they have fallen for a scam. In my experience prosecuting scams, scam artists are unfortunately talented at their work. Those feelings of shame in victims can really be counterproductive and have adverse health consequences. Are you evaluating the services investment advisors and brokers provide? On the investment advisory side, there has been a development in the marketplace where investment advisors are increasingly using subscription services or other fee structures that differ from the traditional model of charges based on assets under management. This is something I think states will be focusing on more in the future. We certainly don't want to stand in the way of efforts to right-size fee structures to better fit client needs or to provide services to additional clients, but we do want to make sure that the fees are reasonable and that the services performed are in line with those costs. On the broker-dealer side, we've been doing on-site exams to see how broker-dealer firms have implemented the Securities and Exchanges Commission 2020 regulation that requires brokers to act in a client's best interest when recommending securities transactions, such as stock purchases. We hope to have a report later this year. How can investors find a reputable advisor or broker who will best serve their needs? Work with a registered financial professional. The worst cases of victimization that we see almost always involve an unregistered person. You can look up registered brokers and advisors on BrokerCheck, brokercheck.finra.org, or call your state securities regulator who can give you similar information. Understand what your needs are and how the advisor you're thinking of working with gets paid so that you're getting the full value of your investment dollar. Next, time to stock up. Don't forfeit your FSA money. Still have money to spend from your 2022 Healthcare Flexible Spending Account? Here are some ideas to use it up. Flexible Spending Accounts, or FSAs, allow employees of companies that offer the accounts to set aside pre-tax money from their paychecks for out-of-pocket healthcare or dependent care expenses. A little less than one-fourth of FSAs require account holders to spend all the money by the end of the plan year, forfeiting their funds if they miss the deadline, according to the Employee Benefit Research Institute. The rest offer some wiggle room, with 42% of FSAs permitting employees to roll over a certain amount of unused funds to the following plan year, and 36% offering a grace period of 2.5 months to use up the money. For FSA plans that have ended December 31, 2022, and have a grace period, you have until March 15, 2023 to spend the funds. And depending on your plan, you may have until March 31st to file claims for reimbursement of eligible purchases that you made before your FSA's spending deadline. Spending down your FSA. If your healthcare FSA has a grace period and you still have $2022 dollars to spend, review your options among qualifying purchases. Health insurance copayments and deductibles and prescription drugs are common ways to spend FSA money, but many other products qualify too. FSA eligibility is much broader than most people realize, said Rachel Rouleau, Chief Compliance Officer at Help eCommerce, the parent brand of FSA Store, www.fsastore.com, as seller of FSA qualifying products. FSA Store estimates that the average household spends $1,600 a year on everyday health products that are FSA eligible. Don't overlook items that have become newly eligible in the past few years. Thanks to a 2020 law, over-the-counter medications such as pain relievers, cough suppressants, allergy medicine, and heartburn medicines qualify, as do certain menstrual care products. As a result of the pandemic, the IRS has also deemed eligible at-home COVID-19 tests and personal protective equipment, including face masks, hand sanitizers, and sanitizing wipes. More recently, a 2022 Food and Drug Administration ruling opened the door for consumers to buy hearing aids without a prescription, and as with prescription hearing aids, you can use FSA money to buy them. You can get a range of medical equipment and devices with FSA funds, from canes, crutches, and walkers to blood pressure monitors, support braces for injured muscles or joints, and CPAP machines and accessories. First aid kits, bandages, and thermometers also qualify, as does sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher, and that includes facial moisturizers and lip balms containing SPF. And don't forget that vision and dental expenses, such as prescription eyeglasses and contact lenses, as well as lens solutions and cases, reading glasses, and orthodontic braces and aligners are eligible. For more ideas, visit www.fsastore.com/fsa-eligibility-list, which lists FSA eligible items. If you find yourself scrambling to buy FSA qualifying items because you overfunded your account, consider dialing back the amount you contribute to your FSA in future years if you expect to have similar medical expenses. On the Kiplinger calendar for this month, March 2023, Sunday, March 12th, daylight savings time begins in most parts of the U.S., which means you'll lose an hour of sleep. While you're changing your clock, take a few minutes to change the batteries in your smoke alarms and other home safety devices. Wednesday, March 15th. The Federal Reserve meets today, and it's expected to raise interest rates another quarter point. Saturday, March 18th. The federal tax filing deadline is a month away. As the deadline looms, don't overlook ways to maximize your refund or reduce what you owe. Thursday, March 23rd. It's National Puppy Day. Some animal shelters are seeing returns of animals from people who say they can't afford the traditional costs. Friday, March 31st. If you're not satisfied with your Medicare Advantage plan, today is the deadline to switch to a different plan or change to traditional Medicare, and if needed, join a Medicare prescription drug plan. The Medicare Plan Finder at www.medicare.gov/find-a-plan can help you compare plans and enroll in a new Medicare Advantage or drug plan in your area. And the deal of the month. Luggage prices tend to drop in March. Look for big-name brands such as Kipling and Samsonite to offer up to 60% off their luggage pieces, says Julie Ramhold, consumer analyst for Deal News. For this month's briefing in Kiplinger magazine, information about the markets and your money. General Electric reinvents itself. General Electric, one of the most storied conglomerates in the U.S., is streamlining itself in a bid to add value for shareholders, starting with the spin-off of its healthcare businesses. GE Healthcare, symbol GEHC, officially began trading January 4th, opening at $54 a share and closing at $60. GE shareholders received one share for every three shares of GE they held. The spin-off is the first of two. GE is cutting loose its energy unit in early 2024. Aviation-focused GE Aerospace will be what's left after the spin-offs. The original GE was formed by the 1892 merger of Thomas Edison's Edison General Electric Company with another electrical manufacturer. The company became an original constituent of the Dow Jones Industrial Average in 1896, where it remained until 2018. The sprawling conglomerate became known for everything from light bulbs to jet engines. Now it's hoping that the sum of its parts will add up to more than the whole. The healthcare business makes and services a variety of medical imaging equipment, among its other products and services. It generated about $18 billion in sales in 2021, roughly half from recurring revenue sources. GE told analysts it expects the spun-off business to generate internal revenue growth at an annual rate in the mid-single-digit percentages, aided by aging demographics, data-driven precision care, and other long-term global trends. Favorable prognosis. If history is a guide, the outlook is good for this spin-off, according to analysts at Bank of America Securities. Spin-offs in general tend to do well when managers are freed from a larger bureaucracy to zero in on core strengths. And seven of the eight biggest medical technology spin-offs over the past 20-plus years have handily outperformed the S&P 500 following their spin-off, says Bank of America. But investors should expect some volatility immediately after the spin-off. The average decline for the spin-offs tracked by Bank of America was nearly 2% in the first 30 years after trading begins. 12.9%. What is this number? It is the average overall menu price hike at five popular fast food chains, according to price comparison website Pricelisto.com, which analyzed data from September 2021 to October 2022. Burger King's chicken fries rose 16%, the largest increase for a single item. Next up, how to trim your tax bill. Life milestones such as getting married, having kids, and retiring are usually taxable events. See how to minimize any tax bite and maximize your refund. As you prepare to file your 2022 tax return, take inventory of how your life changed last year. If you experienced a major turning point, there's a good chance it was a taxable event. In 2022, the average federal tax refund totaled $3,039, a 7.5% increase from $2,827 the year before. But the IRS recently warned taxpayers that their refunds could be smaller in 2023. After sending out billions of dollars in stimulus checks during the pandemic, the federal government turned off the tap last year. That means you'll no longer have an opportunity to file for unclaimed stimulus checks when you file your 2022 tax return. In addition, Congress didn't extend a pandemic-related provision that allowed taxpayers to claim an above-the-line deduction for up to $600 in charitable contributions. Unless you itemize your deductions, you won't get a tax break for your philanthropic largesse in 2022. That means it's more important than ever to take advantage of all the tax credits and deductions available to you, even if you don't itemize. As is the case in the past, there are new wrinkles in the tax code that could increase your refund or lower your tax bill. Family. You got married. Following a pandemic pause, more than 2 million couples got married in 2022. If you're among the newly hitched, filing your first tax return as a married couple is a cold reminder that the honeymoon is over. The first decision you'll need to make is which filing status to use. For the majority of couples, filing jointly will deliver the lowest tax bill. A long list of tax breaks are unavailable to couples that choose married filing separately, including money-saving credits to offset the cost of raising children and sending them to college. Thresholds for certain deductions are higher for couples who file jointly, which means you can still earn more and still qualify for tax breaks. Joint filers also qualify for a much larger standard deduction for couples who file jointly, $25,900 in 2022, compared with $12,950 for couples who file separately. There are a handful of circumstances in which filing separately will result in a lower tax bill. If one spouse had a serious medical condition that resulted in large out-of-pocket expenses, filing separately could enable that spouse to deduct those expenses. You can only deduct medical expenses that exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, so you'll have a better shot of reaching that threshold if the spouse who incurred the expenses files separately. Filing separately could also pay off if there's a large disparity between your income and your spouse's income. By filing separately, the lower-earning spouse could qualify for tax breaks that are only available to taxpayers in lower tax brackets. Finally, you should consider filing separately if your spouse has unpaid child support, owes back taxes, or has defaulted on federal student loans. By filing separately, your refund won't be reduced by these liabilities. Similarly, you should file separately if you suspect your spouse has cheated on his or her taxes, although that's probably a conversation you should have had before you tied the knot. If you and your spouse are both high earners, you could find yourself hit with the marriage penalty, which occurs when a couple filing a joint return pays a higher tax than they would pay if they remained single. The 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act eliminated the penalty for most couples and expanded the potential for marriage bonuses, although some couples in the top tax brackets may still pay the penalty. When it comes to state taxes, though, marriage penalties are often alive and well. According to the Tax Foundation, 15 states have a marriage penalty. In some instances, you may be better off filing a joint federal tax return and a married filing separately state tax return, although not all states permit that. You were divorced or widowed. Where your divorce is concerned, your filing status is based on the year in which your divorce became final. If you were divorced as of December 31, 2022, your filing status is single or head of household, assuming you qualify. If you and your spouse have split but didn't finalize the divorce by the end of the year, you have the option of filing a joint return or married filing separately, whichever delivers the lowest tax bill. The rules are different for taxpayers who lost a spouse. In that case, you can file jointly for the year your spouse died, as long as you didn't remarry. This can often result in a larger refund or lower tax bill because you can claim the full standard deduction available for married couples, along with potentially lower tax rates for a joint return. If you have a dependent child, You may be eligible to claim qualifying widow or widower status for 2 years after the death of your spouse. This status allows you to claim the same standard deduction available to married couples who file jointly. You have children or dependents. Even before inflation drove up the price of diapers, formula, and strained carrots, not to mention Robux and baseball and hockey uniforms, raising a child was a costly endeavor. The average family will spend $310,605 on a child born in 2022, and that doesn't include the cost of college, according to an analysis by the Brookings Institution. Fortunately, the tax code is pretty family-friendly, so it's critical to take advantage of all tax breaks available to parents. In 2021, the American Rescue Plan increased the size of the child tax credit, allowing older children to qualify, made the credit fully refundable, and provided parents with monthly advance payments. However, those provisions weren't extended to 2022. For 2022, you'll still be able to claim a child tax credit, but it won't be as generous. The credit is worth up to $2,000 for each dependent child younger than 17. The credit phases out once your modified adjusted gross income, MAGI, exceeds $200,000 for single filers and $400,000 for married couples who file jointly. If you adopted a child last year, you may be eligible for a tax credit to offset your costs, which can be significant. In 2022, the credit is worth up to $14,890. The credit phases out once your MAGI exceeds $223,410. Unless you adopt a special needs child, the credit is limited to the amount of your eligible adoption expenses. So, for example, if you only spent $10,000, that's the maximum amount you can claim. Families who adopt a special needs child can claim the full credit in the year the adoption is finalized, even if it exceeds the amount of your expenses. The credit is non-refundable, so you won't get a check if it exceeds the amount of tax you owe. However, you can carry over the remaining amount for up to 5 years. The American Rescue Plan expanded the Child Independent Care Credit in 2021, but that, too, reverts to the previous level for tax year 2022. You have been listening to Money Matters on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Deb Parsons saying goodbye from Owl Radio.